1, starting in verse 10, this is what it says. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea, the seven churches there. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Does anybody know what these golden candlesticks represent? The churches in the Bible. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a white garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes was as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Now, let's look at verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand are the seven and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks are what which thou sawest are the seven churches. Amen. I'm gonna deal tonight with a subject that is something that I feel is a revelation in my spirit, which God has given me in times past. I want to preach tonight, teach, preach, in a mixture, whatever you like to call it. I want to talk to you tonight about a Christless Pentecost. A Christless Pentecost. In dealing with this today, I trust that this will help you in the fact that it's something that a while back, it was an experience that I had in the Lord. I looked around and wondered at all of the different counterfeit Pentecost movements that I've seen. I would witness things in traveling where I would see people speaking in tongues, but they would sin in the very same night. I witnessed things like you see them on stage singing and worshiping and all these different things. But then you see them out in the park a lot losing their attitude and losing their temper and different things. I've even prayed for a guy one time. He ran out the church. You know, I didn't know. He just took off running, ran out the church. Come to find out that individual was having an affair with somebody across the aisle. Now, dealing with these things, I thought to myself, something is missing in the Pentecostal movement. Something just is not right. There's something that tends to be in the Pentecostal movement where people may speak in tongues, and I believe in that. And I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and I believe in healing, and I believe, and I'm going to teach them, and I hope they are become in operation more in this church, in every church. I love to hear a message in tongues given when it's from the Lord. I believe it's a direct revelation from heaven, and I believe the Bible teaches that. I believe in the gift of wisdom. I believe in the gift of healing. I believe in miraculous miracles. I believe in all of that. I am a firm believer and I preach. I believe it's a commandment from heaven that you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I believe that. But you would have to agree with me today that there has been something in this church era that is missing. That's, like I've said, I've seen so many different things and it causes me to wonder. And in this, I come across this in study and I feel like it's going to help us as a church. I'm dealing with today on a Christless Pentecost. Now, over years ago in the beginning of the 19th century, there was a revival that took place called the Azusa Street Revival. Anybody ever heard of it? Now, some have, some haven't. But understand, the Azusa Street Revival was a miraculous move of God. It was something that took place where many were saved, and if I'm not mistaken, it lasted some 3 years, and so much happened within those 3 years. I encourage you to go study it, read behind it, take your time. They had a visitation from heaven. There was people getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, the messages in tongues. I mean, it was a miraculous miracles happening. There was people that would pick up the newspaper and other countries that would read about the revival and would become so stirred in their spirit, they would kneel down and pray beside the recliner. They would get saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost all in the same night. And they would preach to by a newspaper article. Hear me today, the Azusa Street Revival was a phenomenal Pentecostal event. As a matter of fact, the Assemblies of God, the Church of God, the Pentecostal Holiness Movement, the Independent Holiness Movement, all in some form can tie back to it in some way. That is when that initial
fire was set in America on the West Coast. It was a miraculous moving of the Holy Ghost. It was genuine. It was a touch from heaven. But hear me today. Something happened because the Azusa Street Revival ended. There was a man by the name of Frank Bartleman, which many of you probably have never heard that name. Frank Bartleman was the publisher of the Azusa Street Revival. He was a man that studied it. He was a man that would write articles. He was a man that was on fire for the Lord. And he looked at the Azusa Street Revival and the Holy Ghost gave him a warning to the people that were in that revival. And the Holy Ghost gave him a warning and said something like this: "You are taking Christ out of Pentecost." And I believe that is what ended up to the closing and the end of the Azusa Street Revival. I believe that. And ever since then, there has been a high-performance Pentecost in America where we believe in a lot of different things. Look, I believe in shouting. I believe in running the aisles. I've seen people, and we talked today, but they hadn't seen to me somebody run the pews yet. My wife's grandfather, he'll run the pews. He'll do it underneath the unction of the Holy Ghost. He'll do it. He'll preach and teach and just underneath that unction. Hear me today, friend. But what is it that caused the Azusa Street Revival to end? I'm going to read you a few quotes from Frank Bartleman, some things that he saw, some things that concerned him. And I believe today that we can look at a majority of what is going on that we call revival in America, and you can see the same resemblance. Frank Bartleman said this: "We may not hold a doctrine or seek an experience except in Christ. Many are willing to seek the power in order to perform miracles, draw attention and adoration of the people to themselves, thus robbing Christ of His glory and making a fair showing of the flesh." You would have to say amen to that today, that there is a movement in the Pentecostal world that is looking for man's applause, that is looking for the adoration of the flesh, that they're not giving Christ the full glory. They are looking for a personal revival to where they can become rich, where they can become settled, to where they can have something nobody else has, and there they have a revival, but they're having a Pentecost without Jesus Christ. This is another quote from Frank Bartleman. "Any work that exalts the Holy Ghost or the gifts above Jesus will finally end up in infanticism. Whatever causes us to exalt the love of Jesus is well and safe. The reverse will ruin all. The Holy Ghost is a great light, but that light is focused on the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost will not take the place of Christ. He did not come to this world to take the place of Jesus, but He came here to exalt the Lamb of God, to exalt Jesus Christ, and that's what Pentecost is." He said, "Brother Derek, why are you preaching this? I want you to know who I am." Because believe me, traveling, as I said before, you see different things. And sometimes different's not always wrong. If it's sinful, it's wrong. But I've heard people praise like they're having an asthma attack. But they're good people. And they're full of the Holy Ghost. And at first it kind of throws you off and you're trying to wonder what's going on and all this. But hear me today, friend. He warned them that these things were happening. Hear me today, friend. The concern that we should have in the modern Pentecostal era is when the Holy Ghost begins to be pushed in front of Jesus and instead of the Holy Ghost testifying of Jesus. I understand today, I believe in a majority, I hate to say a majority, but truthfully, in a majority of the Pentecostal churches as a whole in America, I believe Christ is becoming a strong stranger. And the Bible says, "Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." Jesus said these words, but I'm afraid today that Jesus has made a stranger in a lot of Pentecostal churches. They push so many different other things, but they do not push Jesus Christ, Him crucified, His redemptive work, His resurrection. That is not in the forefront, and that is a problem. Now we must look at this today because when we look here in Revelation chapter 1, we see where Jesus is. He's walking among the candlesticks. He's walking among the churches. You know, many times we have a picture of Jesus maybe on a cross or maybe in a tomb somewhere. But hear me today, friend. If you have that view of Jesus, read Revelation chapter 1 and it'll revelate your mind. He ain't on a cross. He's not dead. But here we have a view of Christ in His totality. We have a picture of an end times Christ. He has eyes like fire. He has feet like brass. He is strong. He is powerful. He is ready for battle. But hear me today. When I say this, when Jesus has been made a stranger in our midst, Jesus has His place among the church. He's among us today. He wants to walk through. He desires repentance. We'll get into that later. But hear me today. The Holy Ghost never came to take the place of Jesus. Never. And when we look at this, and we talked about the Comforter this morning. We talked about the Holy Ghost and His redemptive work. Why did the Holy Ghost come in the first place? You've got to understand this, because many people seek the Holy Ghost and they don't have a clue what they're seeking for. I want to speak in tongues. You missed it. You missed it. That is just a byproduct of the Holy Ghost. And I've got my teaching on that. And I'd like to do that in the future. Why do we speak in tongues? There's a reason. That unruly member in your mouth, oh my, that tongue is something else. We don't seek after the tongues. I went to a church, oh my, it was a very disturbing thing. It was probably one of the biggest Pentecostal churches I've ever seen. It ain't the biggest I've ever seen, but one of the biggest I've been in. We went there, and there was a young man that they had invited a holiness preacher in there, and we were there trying, I don't know why they invited him, they didn't invite him back, but you know, they invited him in there, we went to support him. I mean, there was a young man at the altar that went to that church, he was seeking for the Holy Ghost, and I went down there trying to pray with him, and all of a sudden this man beside me, I don't know who he was or where he was from. Like, he started speaking in tongues, but it wasn't the same Holy Ghost I have. He got down beside that young boy and said, "Start speaking, son. Go ahead." He grabbed his mouth and was shaking it, and the boy said something in a tongue, and he said, "He got it. He got it." I thought to myself, my, if we have watered down the baptism of the Holy Ghost to that fruitless, to that selfish, to that little, oh, he said a tie my tie or this, whatever. It's a pitiful state when we've come down to that in Pentecost. But I'm telling you, the night I got the Holy Ghost, nobody told me what to say. I mean, I've said it before. Some were saying send the rain. Some said send the fire. Some said knock them down. Some said stand them up. Some said spin them up. I mean, they were saying everything. I didn't care what song was playing. I didn't care who was around me. I went through to a baptism only a month after I've been saved. And when I came through, I was speaking in a heavenly language as the Spirit gave the utterance. It was from heaven. It was divine. And I've never been the same since. It empowered me. It strengthened me. He's encouraged me. He's comforted me. He's been a witness through me. It's been amazing what the Holy Ghost will do if you just yield to Him. But we don't seek the tongues. I say it all the time. I bought these pair of shoes not because they had a tongue on them. Got this pair of shoes because they're pretty comfortable. That's why I got them. I got them for the walk, not the tongue. You need to seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not for the tongue, but the walk. Not for the tongue, but the walk. Don't seek the tongue, seek the power. Don't seek the tongue, seek the giver, and the gift will come. I promise you, you'll be surprised what God will do if we would seek God without restraint, without reservation, without pride, without preconceived ideas, without looking at the worldly church and saying, I don't want to do what they're doing. But if we learn to focus on the giver, the gift will come, I assure you. We get so discouraged in Pentecost when we look at the world and the worldly churches. And we say, I'm afraid something's going to happen. Calm down. Where there's a real, there's going to be a fake. If there's a fake, there's got to be an authentic and a genuine. And there is. There is a genuine baptism that'll stay with you, that'll be there, that'll edify you, and it's more than just feeling something. It is an empowering from on high. Jesus was on Calvary. He gave up the ghost. The ghost came back. The Holy Ghost came in Acts chapter 2. Now looking at this, we must understand there is something missing in our Pentecostal churches, and I believe it is the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. A genuine, authentic revival where the Holy Ghost comes and empowers us. The Holy Ghost came not for humanitarian efforts, not to make us a social club, but He came to make us a witness of Jesus Christ. Abundant Life Tabernacle must never just become a social club. We must not look around and become people that just do humanitarian efforts. The Catholics do that. The world does that all the time. They see a need, they feed. They do that all the time. But there's something I've seen. When we were in Africa, I watched a Lutheran pass out more rice. But they fed, when they fed them, the people they were feeding were sinners. And after their stomach was full, they were still sinners. It doesn't change their spiritual state, but the Holy Ghost can do that. And when you read through the book of Acts, it covered 33 years. And in 33 years, they evangelized the whole world. Without Facebook. Without a cell phone. Without CNN. Without TBN. They evangelized the whole world without the modern technology that we have now. We've been at this for 2,000 years. And we talked about it at the door. There's still people who never heard the name of Jesus. There's something that is missing. And I'll tell you what it is. We have been experiencing over the years, not as a whole, but in a lot of places, and it can even be an individual thing you've experienced. You can have a Christless Pentecost. You can have a Pentecost that is not the will of God. You can have a Pentecost where you feel chills and thrills, but then make you feel this and feel good. But we have to get off this high performance stuff where we always are looking and looking to receive. We've got to understand the Holy Ghost infills you to give. We've got to get off welfare Christianity. You can tell who's on it. It's all about them. Well, I want the Holy Ghost to fill me so I can do this. Oh, I want to do this. I want God to... If we're not careful, our prayer requests will kill the service. I've seen it done. Not edify, but kill. If we're not careful, we become people that are so need-based that we come to the house of God and all we're looking for is to receive and we're not looking to give. The Holy Ghost fills me not to become a stagnant pond somewhere, but it fills me that out of my belly can flow rivers of living water, that I can be a testimony, that I can be empowered by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that I can go out of the Abundant Life Tabernacle, I can see people on the job, I can see people in Walmart, I can see somebody on the streets, and I can give them life. If you're saved today and you don't have an outlet, please get one, spiritually. You ever seen an old pond that has mosquitoes all around it? I mean, it's green and see algae on top. You know what happens? They have no flow of water. It's a stagnant pond. It's sitting there and all it does is accumulate bacteria. All it does is a habitation for death and other things. You may have a few animals living in there and you most of the time don't die too. But understand the difference between that and a fresh lake somewhere or a river somewhere. There is a constant flow. There is a constant flow out of that to somewhere else. And it keeps a cleansed place. And it's something that keeps life there. It keeps life to other places. You've got to learn to flow as a Christian. God blesses you not for you to dry up, not for you to go home and just sit still. God blesses you that you can bless others. Peter and John says, such as I have, I give you. But they couldn't give something they didn't have. Problem in the Pentecostal ranks I've seen, many people, Brother Glenn, are trying to give something they've never had nor ever experienced. We'll tell somebody very easily, you need to forsake all and follow Jesus when we ourselves are not willing to do it. We'll tell somebody, you need to give all to Christ when we ourselves are not willing to do it. We've got to practice what we preach from the pulpit to the pew. We must understand that the Holy Ghost came to make you a testimony and a witness and to make you a flowing believer that can give life to this world. Such as I have, I give you. I'm going to ask you today, what do you have? When you leave here, what is in your life that is of any value to this world? Not talking about some talent or some ability. Thank God for it. But there's enough talent in America to drown us. There's a drunk underneath a bridge somewhere that can out-sing just about everybody in churches probably. There's talent everywhere. There's ability everywhere. God's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. He's looking for somebody to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me."
When I got born again, that's just the way they told me. They said, "You don't pursue a career. You don't pursue anything. You get on your knees and you let God direct your footsteps." And I did. I was just crazy enough to believe it, and He did. Oftentimes, I've already said it here before, young people, hear me. Let's be careful that we are not trotting our own course or trying to map our own way. But let's make sure that everything you do is directed by the Holy Ghost. If you have not been filled, get filled with the Holy Ghost. That is objective number one. You cannot be in the perfect will of God without the Holy Ghost. I believe that. Brother Derek, that's a bold statement. He said, "Go and tarry." I'm just echoing what Christ said. If you're looking for the perfect will of God, you've got to start at square one. I'm not saying that God can't move. I'm not saying that God can't use you in some form. But I want to be used in a full potential. I want God to use me without boundaries. I want that river to flow without measure. I want to be like Ezekiel when he seen that river. He went and he seen it ankle deep. He seen it loin deep. But then he saw waters that you could swim in. Have you ever noticed when water's ankle deep, you still have control? Yeah. Even when water's loin deep, you still can put the base down strong enough for your legs and you can hold your weight. But have you ever been in water over your head with the current flowing? You're going to go where the water's going. You have to understand, to be in the perfect will of God, you need to get in the water over your head. You need not just to stop at your ankles. You need not just to stop at your loins. Believe me, because you still have a sense of control. But get into the waters where the Holy Ghost and the current and that flow out of that temple can have His perfect will in your life. It can flow where He wants you to go. And I promise you this, He'll protect you wherever He wants you to go. Now believe me, why hadn't the world been properly evangelized? Because we hadn't lived the Great Commission. Go and tarry. And then go and preach. Go and tarry, then go and preach. When we look at this, friend, I must move along and I'll try not to take too much longer because I hadn't even got to my first point yet. But anyhow, this is the intro to this. We would understand today that the devil wants to take the relevance of Christ from our world. He does not mind us coming to church singing, shouting, but he does mind when we leave our churches commissioned by the Holy Ghost. The devil don't mind you coming here and sitting. I promise he don't. The devil don't mind if you know every hymn in the hymn book. The devil don't mind if you come and you're faithful to service and this. But the devil does mind when you leave here with a calling on your life. He does mind when you leave here with vision in your spirit, with a burden for the lost, to be an intercessor, to be somebody that's full of the Spirit. The devil wants to take the relevance of Christ out of Pentecost. Hear me today, where the Holy Ghost is actually in control. Jesus is proclaimed as the head of the Holy Ghost, and He will testify and witness in our communities. My heart's desire, I'm just being transparent with you, for abundant life. I want people to look at our church and say, "That's that church." I heard about a church in Texas years ago, and I don't know much about the testimony in fullness. But they had so many drug addicts were disappearing off the street that they opened up an investigation. They found the drug addicts in the local church, born again and delivered. And the detective that did the report, he said, "I didn't know where all of them went. The ones that we would arrest almost weekly and bi-weekly and monthly," he said, "they disappeared, but they ended up becoming good law-abiding citizens." You would tell you how? There was a church. They ended up getting the vision. They ended up getting full of the Spirit of God. And they begin to flow out into the community. That's what we need here. Talking to myself and you. This isn't a condescending message. This is the Word of God. That we understand why God had come. Hear me today. Hey, Brother Dick, how do you know that we are having a Christless Pentecost? I may get over the first point, maybe the second one here tonight, but the very first reason I know that we're having a Christless Pentecost is because a lot of Pentecostal churches are giving preeminence to the Holy Ghost over Jesus Christ. Something's wrong when we have a camp meeting and we'll say Holy Ghost 100 times and say Jesus twice. Something's wrong.
He said, Brother Derek, now hear me. There is no other name under heaven which man can be saved. The name of Jesus is important. It is important that we keep Christ and Christ alone at the center of our life and the center of our worship. Hear me today. The Bible tells us that He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. Jesus Christ is the head of the church and He's going to stay there or we will not have revival.
If we don't keep Jesus up here, if He's not lifted up, men will not be drawn unto Him. Derek Jones don't need to be lifted up. I'm not looking for my name on a shiny marquee. I'm not looking for my name on the... Oh, we joke around about the side of the van. Somebody said you need to put your name on it. I don't want my name on the side of the van. And I know it's a joke. We mess around. But really, I'm all right if somebody sees Abundant Life Tabernacle. I really, honest to God today, I just want Jesus to be seen. I want God to be seen. And I'm not talking about respecting others and reverence. I know that. Please don't take that in the wrong way. But I'm saying for me personally, I want revival for this church and I want Jesus to be seen above everything. B.H. Clendenin years ago, and some of you know of him, he started a Bible school. They said, what is the name of your school going to be, Brother Clendenin? He said, it's simple, the School of Christ. He didn't want his name on it. He didn't want it to be the School of Theological Seminary of B.H. Clendenin. He didn't want that. He simply wanted Christ to be seen. Hear me today. That in all things He might have preeminence. That is having first place in all things. Not even the Holy Ghost is to be exalted above the name of Jesus. I went to another church in a state, in somewhere. I mean, it was scary. I mean, they were singing to each other in tongues, harmonizing in tongues. And I said, what in the world? And they were feeling something, but I wasn't feeling nothing. I was feeling scared. But something wasn't right. And in this was birthed this message in my heart. They don't have Christ in their midst. They leave that church the same way they came. They come there, they speak in tongues, they leave speaking in tongues, and they go home and still watch the same thing on TV. They still can participate in the same things. They're still unfaithful to the house of God. They're still unfaithful to their spouses. They still do what they want to do. Many of them are still addicted to certain things in private. Let me tell you why. They have a Pentecost without Christ. Now don't you think I'm knocking speaking in tongues. I'm not. But there is a harlot church out there. And the devil's smart enough, hear me, he knows what he's doing. If I was to make counterfeit money today in America, I wouldn't use pink paper. Somebody'd say, what in the world is this? But you try to make it look as close as possible. You try to make it resemble something close as possible. You don't want nobody to distinguish the difference. And the only way we can distinguish the difference in the church is that gift of the Spirit, is that discerning of spirits. You've got to know the difference between what's right and what's wrong. And as a pastor, you're going to have to trust me. Because believe me, there is differences of opinions and things in this world. There is. There is some people more lively than others in worship. There is. There's some people like, I've seen them clap their hands and stomp their feet. And I've seen some that don't. I've seen some run the aisle. And I've seen some that don't. Don't make nobody right or make nobody wrong. But you've got to learn to differentiate the difference between what is of the Holy Church and what is not. You say, Brother Derek, what is the difference? Is Christ being lifted up? You give me an individual out here that's living Christ. That's living a good life. That is doing the will of God. They can come to church and do a cartwheel. I don't care. As long as they don't kick nobody or hurt nobody. Now, I understand there's people that get in the flesh. I know that. But hear me today. There has to be an experience in Christ. And then if there's an experience in Christ, we can have revival. The upper room must never overshadow Calvary. We must not dare ever think in our minds that Jesus came, that when Jesus went away, He sent the Holy Ghost in His stead. But He sent the Holy Ghost to be a testimony of Jesus. The Holy Ghost didn't come to earth and say, all right, no more Jesus. The Holy Ghost came to this earth and said, Christ is to be lifted up.
That's why He came. Hear me today. Because this is important. We must understand this. Anytime we lift the Holy Ghost up above Jesus, we lose our focus. When the Holy Ghost becomes the center of attention, the church gets out of focus. The Holy Spirit descended upon Christ when He came out of the water at the baptism. That's right. The dove landed on the lamb, not the lamb on the dove. Amen. The Holy Ghost landed on Jesus. He testifies of Christ. And we must have Christ moving in our midst through the Holy Ghost. We must understand this. When we look throughout the Bible, we can read many different things. It says this in Acts 1 and 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And notice this, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto who? Me. You get full of the Holy Ghost to tell people about Jesus. You testify of Christ. That's what it's all about. He is the Lamb of God. He is the focal point of Scripture. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, when He comes, He shall teach you all things. I read that this morning, different verses here. But the Comforter is coming. I will send to you from the Father. He's the Spirit of truth. He shall testify of me. You see, he shall also bear witness because ye have been for me from the beginning. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, for whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak. Now think about this. When Jesus was on earth, many times he would say, these are not my words. Whose were they? The Father's. This is the will of my Father. It's the will of God. Will of God. I speak what the Father giveth me. I do this and I do that. But when the Holy Ghost comes, just like Jesus will speak what the Father gave Him, the Holy Ghost speaks what Christ says. And they're triune in one, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, it all ties together. But that's what you must get in your mind. We must understand that many charismatics focus all on the Holy Ghost, that focus all on miracles, but they miss the greater picture. What about glorifying Jesus Christ and living a crucified life? A.A. Allen, you ever heard of him? Now, if I'm not mistaken, at one point he had an authentic ministry. But what happened? It was sad to read the full testimony and the story. What happened to A.A. Allen? But I like what one individual said. He said, A.A. Allen began to go down and began to decline in his ministry when his miracles were in the newspapers instead of Jesus Christ. Years ago, my old pastor would tell the story. Back before Jimmy Swaggart fell, and please, if you're a faithful follower of him, don't fall out with me. And because he said he noticed when something would begin to happen and shift in Jimmy Swaggart's ministry, when on the side of Jimmy Swaggart's truck he passed one time, somewhere they had a tent in the back of an 18-wheeler truck, and there on the side of that, it had Jimmy Swaggart's name in a big, big box letters, and then at the bottom it says a Jesus Christ Tent Revival. In small letters. You understand what I'm saying? It's not about Derek Jones or Glenn Jones. It's not about you or me. It's not about that. It's all about Jesus Christ. When we look at the book of Acts, hear me today, because it's a very interesting study. When you read through the book of Acts, the Holy Ghost or the disciples never exalted themselves above Jesus Christ. Never. In Acts chapter 2 and 22. Acts chapter 2, what happened? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Speaking in other tongues. Spirit gave the utterance. They go out of the upper room. Everybody's looking on. People are wondering what's going on. And notice this right here. This is what Peter says. Underneath the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Peter says this, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth. Peter didn't get up there and say, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. He went up there and said, Jesus of Nazareth. He was saying, look, this is why we're having Pentecost. This is why we're speaking tongues. It's all about the Jesus Christ of heaven, the one that came, the one that was approved of God, the one that did miracles and wonders and signs. He is the one that was lifted up. And what happened? 3,000 people saved. Isn't that amazing? Then we read on in Acts chapter 3, that lame man at the gate. I've already mentioned that, but silver and gold have I none.
In the name of Jesus Christ now, get up and walk. The miracle happened. But notice this, when they went inside the temple, and then the temple, the people began to recognize and realize that this man was healed. And this is what the Bible says. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why look ye so earnestly on this? As though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son, Jesus."
It had been easy for Peter to say, "Hey, look what I did, folks. He's walking, and I prayed for him. Send me $500. He could have done that easily. But instantly, as soon as the miracle happened, the Holy Ghost moves on Peter, and Peter says, "Jesus." Amen. You see the trait throughout Scripture that Jesus' name was always lifted up. The Holy Ghost doesn't get jealous of that, and Jesus is not jealous of the Holy Ghost. They are one. It is a ministry that is designed that it will work this way. The Son of God is the Lamb of God. He's your only hope. He is the life. He is the way. He is the truth. It's all in Jesus, and everybody knows that. You've got to understand it. I've got to understand it because the Godhead understands it. You've got to understand that. We can even go on to Stephen when he's being persecuted. It says this, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.'" Hear me today, even in persecution, the Holy Ghost still pointed to Jesus. He always will. Let me tell you why you're saved today. Because of Jesus. Did the Holy Ghost have it? Yes, the Holy Ghost had His part in it. He did. But because of Jesus, you're saved. If you get healed, guess who's going to do it? It ain't going to be me. Please save yourself the time and the heartache. And save me the heartache. Look to Christ. The Holy Ghost will take that work that's already accomplished. He'll work it in your life. But He's pointing to the Lamb of God whose stripes He bore for your healing. If you need deliverance, Jesus. Whatever you need is all in the Son of God. The fullness of the Spirit is the fullness of Christ. Seek with that perspective. When you're seeking for the Holy Ghost, seek for the fullness of Christ. And the Holy Ghost will come. Here at Abundant Life Tabernacle, if we learn to lift up Jesus, as my wife goes to the piano, I got through one point. But if we learn to lift up Christ, we will, without a shadow of a doubt, have revival. Without a shadow of a doubt. Brother Derek, will gifts of the Spirit come? Yes, they will. And if you don't know now, I push for them. I push for the moving of the God Spirit. Because I've seen the Holy Ghost testify of Christ to people a lot better than what I can. I'm up here and I've got a North Carolina accent. I stumble over words. I have to rack my brain to get a decent message together from the Lord. And then I stress about that, trying to get it to where it sounds correct. I've seen the Holy Ghost instantaneously touch people. And they stand up and say, "I feel born again. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus." It is the ministry of the Holy Ghost to work in that form. So I'm going to ask you today, what is a true Holy Ghost revival? Is it where people all speak in tongues? No. It'll be there. People will speak in tongues in true Holy Ghost revival. Is it where people are healed? Where saints jump for joy? Where saints are prophesying? That'll be a part of it. You will. You'll see manifestations of God's Spirit. But that's not what the revival is. The revival is where Christ is lifted up. That is revival. Where men and women fall before a holy throne, broken, humbled, crying, "Holy, holy, holy." The moving of the Holy Spirit is moving closer to Christ, deeper in Christ, and having a greater submission to His Lordship. That's revival. That's revival. Stand to your feet. And we'll revisit this another time, another night. But I've got plenty of other points. I've got plenty of other points to go along with this. How many wants Pentecost? I want it. And I know, hear me, friend, and I say this with all humility. When I teach or preach about the Holy Ghost, I know there's sometimes there may be people that don't have it. And that's not to discourage you one bit. Please, if you think that, the devil's a liar. I never want to come off that way. I know that there's a certain frustration at times trying to seek. I know that sometimes we don't understand. And sometimes we hope they'll hear me. Seek the giver. The gift will come. Brother Derek, how did it all happen to you? I was laying on the floor. I didn't know the difference between speaking in tongues and yodeling. But I knew I needed more. I knew what I felt in my spirit, and I knew I couldn't do what God was telling me to do. I was looking at myself. I had nothing. But when God fills us, He fills you full of Christ and the Holy Ghost. What a powerful church this will be. I'm believing it's already powerful. I believe that. But I don't believe there's a church in America yet that's reached. There's many that's done plenty of great things. But full potential. What is the full potential here? I don't believe it's God's will for there to be empty pews. I believe God wants to fill His house. I mean, it's amazing. Peter preached and 3,000 saved. Think about that. I mean, if we had a church here with 3,000, I mean, that big church up the road, I mean, just think, Peter did that with one message. Let's see revival. I don't say anything to discourage you. And if you feel that, I ask you to forgive me. I don't mean to come off that way at all. But I am here today as a pastor of this church, your pastor, telling you, let's have true Pentecost. It's real. It's real. It's real. It's real. Even though the skeptic says it was only for the 120. They say it ceased. It ceased 2,000 years ago. Nobody else gets to experience that. That's not even fair. I believe it's a continuing thing. Let it be unto your children and your children's children. We must perpetuate Pentecost. I believe speaking in tongues. I believe all that comes with it. But we must yield to the Spirit of God. Let's do that today. These altars are open. Just as a church, let's pray for each other. Let's pray for this church. Pray for yourself. And let's have revival. Come to these altars. Empty them pews.